T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Stocks closed lower Thursday as investors wrestled with the rise in new cases of the fast-spreading coronavirus and how that could impact economies around the world. The S&P 500 lost 5, the NASDAQ shed nearly 14, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average closed down 128 points, settling to 29,423. I'm Andy Gersher. This is After the Bell, and joining us with the latest on the activity on Wall Street, Jack Ablin, Chief Investment Officer at Crescent Capital here in Chicago. Well, Jack, we saw a big jump in coronavirus cases overnight. Wall Street really didn't take note until late in the session. What was your takeaway?
Yeah, I mean, remember, the market's been rallying, you know, pretty consistently. So to have one day of a pullback probably isn't unusual anyway. Apparently, China has started using a different way of measuring the virus. And so that caused a spike in the numbers. But it may have to do more with the methodology than the actual virus itself.
Well, and that's interesting that you change the method that you're counting cases and you see a spike of like 20,000 cases overnight.
It was definitely headline grabbing and it got investors' attention. But I think that, you know, most investors, looking at it really from an economic point of view, and, you know, we've essentially quarantined the second largest country in the global economy. And, you know, that's going to have an impact. So economists are calling for as much as a 1 percentage point pullback in the first quarter economic growth for China. That will certainly spill over into other economies. It's projected that that could impact the U.S. economy by a little less than 0.5% for the quarter. And if you consider that, plus the, you know, of course, the Boeing shutdown, you know, we're going to be hard pressed to get a number that's substantially above 1 for the first quarter. And I think that's really, you know, causing investors to wring their hands.
You did make an interesting point just a minute ago when you said that, you know, we've had quite a run up in stocks and, you know, throughout this earnings season. And, you know, even at one point today, we had touched upon record highs and then they pulled back. I mean, was coronavirus even the real reason why it was pulled back, or could it be just something else? Could it be profit taking? Could it be some other things as well? Is it even these latest number of cases? Is that really even what the driver was? I mean, that's what the headlines say, but
yeah, I think it was really what set the tone overnight. But keep in mind, going into this morning's session, you know, Dow futures were down, I think, nearly 200 points, and maybe even more than 200 points. And then we closed the day down 100 points after actually rallying into positive territory. So I think that it perhaps set the initial tone, but then investors were really focused more on, you know, some of the fundamental data that came through today.
Because the reason why I say that is often I do think that some of the, you know, headline grabbing things out there, Iran tensions, coronavirus, you know, these big geopolitical things, a lot of, you know, folks cite that as the market mover, but that might not necessarily be the case always.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. I mean, it's, you know, on a day-to-day basis, in many respects, you know, market motion is pretty random. Like I said, we've come off a period of pretty consistent rallying for the last couple of weeks.
We're finishing up corporate earnings season. What's your takeaway from earnings season? How did companies perform? And I guess more importantly, the guidance going forward, how does that play into the mix now?
Yeah, I think it's really this time around more to do with the guidance, just because we don't know the impact. And of course, China is a critical piece of not just the supply chain, but also end demand in many respects. So I think it is going to be critical. Of course, it's pretty muddied. But here's the important point about it, and that is because last year was such an aberration that we rallied 30% or more on 1%, even less than 1% earnings growth. This year, we can't rely on valuation expansion to, you know, float all boats. And so it really is going to depend on earnings 2020. Right now, analysts are expecting earnings for the full year to be around 9 or 10%. My guess is that's going to be knocked down. And so for me, one great rule of thumb is just let's assume then that the price growth of the S&P will match earnings growth, assume we get no valuation expansion or contraction, and then you can add roughly 2% for dividends. So if we do get that 9%, which I think is going to be probably a stretch, then we can bank about 11% for the S&P for 2020.
What areas do you think are now poised to do the best going forward the rest of the year?
Yeah, I mean, we're still big believers in the U.S. consumer. It is remarkable with, you know, historically low unemployment. We've got wages actually rising now at a higher rate. Household debt is pretty manageable. Housing market seems to be pretty stable. So anything centered around the U.S. consumer should be pretty solid for this year. So that would be one area that we can kind of latch onto and feel pretty good that the demand should come through.
Circling back around to the coronavirus, in your world, do you see a lot of clients or individuals concerned about this getting a lot worse and coming to you for advice on how to position themselves?
Right. I think the advice we've been giving clients is, you know, for as terrible as this virus is, and of course it's you know, pretty tragic in China and other places, 20 countries. You know, it is essentially the flu, and it will likely dissipate with the flu season. But I think suffice it to say, this is probably a one quarter event. It may be, you know, maybe, you know, 4 month event. But ultimately, anyone holding equities is really looking out 7 to 10 years. And so we would view any severe pullback related to this infection as more of a longer-term buying opportunity rather than something, an excuse to, you know, sell and run away.
Well, and you talk about that all the time, how especially your firm, your look is we're in it for the long haul, long-term investors. Add to your position. I imagine you are also a big believer in dollar cost averaging as well into positions.
Yeah, absolutely. What, you know, our job is really to deliver our clients' cash flow in their lifestyle. So if they tell us what their cash flow needs are, we'll build a portfolio that will deliver those cash flows. If there's anything left over, then we can, you know, go for a higher return, longer time horizon strategy. For now, I think this is really, you know, pretty much locked in, and we're pretty well set for what we expect to be, you know, probably a one or perhaps two quarter event.
That's Jack Ablin, Chief Investment Officer at Crescent Capital here in Chicago, and I'm Andy Gersher for News Radio on 105.9 FM.